Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news, interviews, and fun for the WordPress community. Now, welcome your host, Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You've reached episode number 436, entitled How AI is Helping WPML Translate Your WordPress Website Faster and Cheaper. It was published on Thursday, the 11th of September, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be chatting to Amir Helzer from WPML in just a few short moments, but before that, a few bits of housekeeping. Something that I don't ever speak of is my involvement in the WordPress London community. There's an event which is put on every month. It's called WPLDN, and it's a meetup for the WordPress folk in and around London. Well, it just so happens that this month's event coincides perfectly with another WordPress event called LoopConf. You can find LoopConf by Googling it, LoopConf. It's a one-day event happening on the 25th of September, so that's a Thursday coming up soon. But WPLDN, which is an evening meetup, is happening the night before. What more could you want? Head to wpldn.uk if you're in the London area and you want to find out more about that event. But also, if you would like to make use of a 50% discount for the LoopConf event the following day, then you can go to their checkout page and use coupon code WPLDN. How nice is that? So you'd be able to come to us on the 24th, that's September the 24th, and then stay over the night in London and join us at LoopConf on the 25th. So that's really nice. I love the idea of that. So there we go. Check that out, wpldn.uk. And also you can Google LoopConf. The next thing to mention is that if you like what we do at WP Builds, why not subscribe? Head to wpbuilds.com and subscribe on your favourite platform. Maybe that's X or Blue Sky or Mastodon or YouTube. We publish all of our bits and pieces over there as well. And maybe you would like to get more regular updates from us via email. There's an email form on there too. Fill that out and we'll send you two emails a week. One when we produce this, which is the Thursday podcast. It's typically an interview. But we also do our This Week in WordPress show. That happens on a Monday, 2 p.m. UK time. And we publish that the following day on a Tuesday as an audio podcast episode. If you join us live for that, you can make comments. Many, many, many people join us and it's really fun. Normally there's a panel of three other guests. If you'd like to be on that panel, I'm opening it up more generally. Head to wpbuilds.com/TWIW. So that's the acronym for This Week in WordPress, which is the name of that show. The very last thing is if you really like what we do and you would like to advertise on this podcast and get your messaging out in front of a pretty large WordPress-specific audience, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise to find out more. And here come three companies that are making use of that service and doing just that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place. Invoice clients and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support with Bluehost Cloud. The possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And last, but by no means least, OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and OmniSend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, what have we got for you today? Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we've got Amir Helzer from WPML. People have been wanting to translate their WordPress websites for a long time. So you could, for example, have it in Japanese, German, Chinese, English, French, Spanish, and so on and so forth. But in the past, that process has been, well, let's say fairly manual. Plugins like WPML have helped you with that process, but it's often had quite a lot of human interaction. So you've had to send things off to translators, make sure those translations are correct. And it turns out that now AI is in the mix. It is incredibly good at doing really robust, accurate, very quick, very cheap translations. And so guess what? WPML has integrated that into their product offering. So Amir Helzer, the founder of WPML, is on the podcast today to talk about that. We talk about the role of AI in translation. We talk about how modern translation differs from what you might have been using in the past. We talk about how WPML has used new technologies to integrate it into their offering, how cheap it is, what is their new private translation cloud API or service, and how you might set this up on your website. Honestly, if there was one area where I think AI is a really credible service, translations may very well be it. So check it out on the podcast today. I hope that you enjoy it. I am joined on the podcast by Amir Helzer. Hello, Amir.
Hello, Nathan.
Nice to have you back. It has been many, like, years, right when we started WP Build. I actually think, Amir, you were my first ever interview. I think. You may not wish to remember that. It was a long time ago, but very nice to have you back. Amir joins us from, well, the email address is on the Go Systems, but the products that you probably know are things like WPML and Toolset and a whole bunch of other things. Amir, I know it's a bland question, but would you just introduce yourself, give us your little bio, what you've been doing in the WordPress space, companies that you work with for products and brands and all of that?
Okay, so I started with WordPress about 16 years ago. Our first product needed something like WPML. So WPML was something that we developed as a small utility for a project that no longer exists for me. We've grown since then. So we created the Toolset plugins also. And recently, a lot of our focus has shifted into translation, the translation itself. So at the beginning, until recently, until AI came along, we were interested only in the software, in the tool that allows to build the multilingual site. And recently, we've become very interested also in the translation, in the product, not only allowing you to translate, but being the translator itself. We're interested in that, and our clients apparently are interested.
I guess the thing that's changed here, and you mentioned it there, is the word AI. Yeah. I mean, it barely feels that you can do anything these days in tech without mentioning AI. But I have my reservations about AI more broadly, but the bits that I've enjoyed of AI, the bits where I see real utility, is when the AI is walled in. And what I mean by that is I'm not asking it to create something brand new. I'm giving it something and saying, here's the thing, tell me about the thing, or rephrase the thing, or, well, translate the thing. And it would appear that AI is profoundly good at that kind of walled garden approach. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
So interestingly enough, I read a few months ago that this technology, the Transformers technology, which is the basis for the LLMs, actually Google developed it in order to translate better. They had the neural translation system, what we use as a Google Translate, and it works fine. But people there have researched how to translate more naturally, meaning to actually understand the text, so that you translate after you understand. You don't try to translate the text, you try to translate what the text means slightly differently.
Okay.
And this is why smart people in Google developed this technology for their translation software, because they were in the machine translation business. And I think that someone pulled the plug from that project when they realized that this does not only translate.
Okay. What? Because it's giving something adjacent, like it might change the meaning of it,
no,
or something like
they
that?
They pulled the plug because someone sensed that it's intelligent. That
oh, I see.
They started the project because they wanted to translate from this language to another language, and they wanted to do it way better than Google Translate. And then someone got spooked because he got the feedback that it appears to be an intelligent thing. You can actually have a conversation. It's got opinions. It has plans. It wants to do stuff. Now, a lot of this is imaginary. It's because it's so great at language that we think, oh, this thing has plans. This thing wants to predict the right answer. Okay? But this was, as far as I know, this was the way they designed it. So how to translate properly. So actually, us using it as a translation system, that's the original purpose why it was developed. And this is why it works so well.
I do remember, I don't know if this is the same story that you're describing that I'm about to recount, but I do remember a Google employee who said exactly that. He went out and, I don't know, he published a blog post and he went on various interviews and things like that. And he was saying that he thought he'd encountered an intelligence of sorts, kind of like AGI, we might now call it, artificial general intelligence. He thought that it was conscious, for want of a better word. And then I think quickly everybody realized that wasn't the case. But okay, that's really curious. Yeah. What's also curious about what you're saying, because I speak to quite a few people on this podcast, and I get an AI to make a transcript, and it will faithfully transcribe what the people are saying. So it does it word by word. Now, in the case of somebody who is a native English speaker, that's probably exactly what you want because they're doing it correctly. However, I might speak to somebody who has an entirely different language and they will just phrase things differently. You know, the verb will come in a different place and you know how it works. The sentence won't be constructed in the way an English speaker would. But the translation engine that I have doesn't worry about that. It just translates whatever the heck it hears. But what you're saying, I think, is that more modern translation engines will take that and be able to say, actually, do you know what? That would be so much better if it was rephrased in this way. Is that what you're saying?
This is how an LLM translates. When you give an LLM a bunch of text, it doesn't even try to map the words. It tries to understand what you're talking about and translate.
Okay, so presumably there's some close approximation to what you say and what it actually translates. But it's also, in my case, the ones that I have used for the podcast, it's incredibly good at distilling that information. So you give it 10 paragraphs and you might say, I don't know, cut it down to one paragraph. And for reasons that I don't understand, because I don't understand enough about AI, it appears to be incredibly good at taking just that data and distilling it, and somehow it makes a really good stab at just saying what the gist of it is. And I guess that's what you're leveraging in your product. Okay, so let's just reprise what you've said so far. So WPML, which is a translation plugin for WordPress. How long has that been around? I mean, it feels like probably the original one.
I think it's 16 years old now.
So 16 years you've had the plugin, and it evolved with the technology that was available at the time. And by that, I mean, there was a definite need to have humans in the loop at the beginning. I presume that there was not much in the way of Google Translate when you began the whole thing.
We recommended to people to use machine translation only as a filler. Okay, so they don't stare at a blank page. They have something which is written in Italian, in German, in Hebrew. And then they can edit, and we communicated them that they would need to do a lot of editing, but it would save them some time, so they don't need to type in everything from scratch.
Right. Okay. So it was just used as a first pass,
Exactly.
Kind of like you scribble it down, and okay, it's not ideal, but at least it gets you part of the way. And then a human needs to be involved. Yeah. But now I'm guessing the year 2025, the advice has now flipped. Yeah. I'm guessing that you don't need a human. I hate to say the words, but I'm going to say them. You don't need a human being in the loop here.
Well, it's always nice to have a second eye. It's nice. But in my case, for instance, I'm a native Hebrew speaker. I speak okay English, and I'm native in Hebrew. And this thing translates from English to Hebrew way better than I can. Okay, so I'm not a professional translator, but I speak Hebrew and I know the topics. So when we translate our own website from English to Hebrew, it's going to come out better if we write it properly today in English and we let the LLM translate to Hebrew. It's just going to come out better than me writing it from scratch in Hebrew.
Okay, so what we're basically saying is the AI has now reached human or better levels. And I guess the big bonus here is that the AI can do all the languages.
Yes.
You know, whereas previously, if I needed to go from English to Hebrew, I needed, well, I could have used the Google Translate, but then I needed somebody who was an expert in Hebrew to double check it. And then if I wanted Spanish, there's another, and then Italian, and the list goes on and on and on, right?
Exactly.
We needed lots and lots of points. But now, presumably, you more or less click a button and it does them all, well, not simultaneously, but approximating simultaneously.
Fast,
yeah.
So
we're
translating the full list between 52 languages, I think. The whole matrix. It doesn't matter which pair to which pair. We QA the whole thing. We spent months QAing the whole thing. There were a bunch of issues to deal with for each target and source language. But this is why me and others, we enjoy so much working with AI, because once you get it working correctly, then it works correctly. You don't need to repeat it. You don't need to oversee it. You don't need to remind it to do stuff. When you work with a team of humans like me, okay, someone tells me to do something, I get it. And then over time, I start forgetting. I start being distracted. I start, you know, the level is going to go up and down. How well I've slept at night, how many emails are waiting for me, what's my phone doing at that time. It's hard for me to keep my own level consistent. But once I QA'd the LLM, that's it.
It's crazy to think about, isn't it? Yeah. So if you put in an article at 3 a.m, you don't have to wait until 9 the following morning to communicate with the translator. By 3:01, it's done 52 languages. It's crazy.
Yes. And you teach it once how to deal with the WordPress constructs, like short codes, attributes, HTML, encoding, little short WordPress constructs, placeholders, what have you. You teach it once. You teach it once how to deal with the SEO attributes. You explain to it, this little thing, which is called the meta description, needs to fit into this length. It needs to preserve branding. It needs to do all this little stuff. And you catch these things as you go. Okay, so you run testing, you feed it several thousands of pieces of content, you review the output, exactly like the people who train the LLMs do. Okay, you review the output, you categorize the issues, you fix the problems. Okay, you just fix them. And then it remains fixed. And then you can feed it as much more content as you want, and it remains fixed. It doesn't revert.
Yeah, it's never going to forget to put that SEO tag in. It's 100% of the time, which I still forget. You know, in my own English work, I forget to put those kind of things in, but the AI will reliably do it 100% of the time. So let me just get the name of this product right, so anybody can go out and Google it. What you've written in the show notes is that you're calling this, well, you said it was WPML's new AI translation. Is that the product name, AI translation?
No, we called it Private Translation Cloud, PTC.
PTC. Yeah. So it's WPML's PTC or Private Translation Cloud. Yeah. And the PTC bit, what's the P, the private, in there? What does that correspond to?
It knows your material. It isn't exactly like you would work with a transactional service like Google Translate, which provides the same answers to everyone. In Google Translate or in DeepL, you send it a string, someone else sends it a string, you get more or less the same reply. Here it's customized to you, so it knows your context, it knows your website, your material, it knows with your target audience what is your correct tone of communication. And it's like working with your own private expert translators, AI translators who know your stuff. So it's not you don't get the same translation like someone else will get. You get translations which are correct for your case. Exactly like you would do if you, let's say, you hire a translator, you train them, you give them feedback, you spend months mentoring them and integrating them into your business. That's the same experience here.
Yeah, so what's interesting there is that there's something approximating humanity, I suppose, in a sense there. It's trying to replicate your voice.
Yeah.
And does it do the same on the translation as well? So in other words, let's say that I want to go from English to Spanish. Does it, how to describe it? Will it retranslate things? So it's not a letter by letter or word by word, faithful transaction.
No.
So let's say that I rattle off a paragraph and it's very technical. And in the olden days, maybe Google Translate would do that one sentence at a time, one word at a time, whatever. Is this more a case of it's trying to capture the essence of what you're saying and put it into the most appropriate Spanish way, for example, or Hebrew way of saying that exact thing? So in other words, it's not a faithful translation, but it's a more human, if you like, which is an odd thing
to say. It's the translation that you want. It's... It appears as if someone who's very familiar with the topic wrote it originally in that language for that audience.
Mm.
Okay, so for instance, a Spanish translation or Spanish texts tend to be much longer than English because this is how society prefers to communicate in Spanish. I go rock climbing, okay? Yeah, I know, I'm heavy, I shouldn't be doing this. Anyway, I go rock climbing. Do not worry, the wall is safe. I haven't heard the wall yet. So there's a sign at the bottom, okay, that says, warns you that someone is climbing above you, okay? In English, it says, beware climber above, okay? Or just climber above. And in Spanish, it says, atención, alguien está escalando sobre ti.
Okay.
So it's at least twice as long. And this is how it is.
Okay.
Yeah, this is just how it is. So when you would translate with an LLM, you'd get this kind of language, okay? German and Spanish would be longer and typically more formal. In order for the Spanish translation to be informal, you need to tell it that you're describing a video game. It's a website for a video game. Otherwise, typically, it will figure out that it wants to translate a little more formal, okay? It understands expressions, okay? So if you have an expression like word of mouth, it's not going to understand it that way. It's not going to think about it like words and mouse, okay? It's going to understand that people are spreading information from one another, okay? Because these are expressions that it knows. It knows it very well. This is why also... when we translate software with that, or we've got PTC for websites, for WordPress, and PTC for software now. So we've split it. The same engine translates software and websites in the same level. So when we translate our own plugin, WPML, okay, we learned that we can reduce the glossary, okay, just by explaining to it that WPML is a WordPress plugin for building multilingual sites, just this, it allowed us to eliminate something like 200, 300 entries from our glossary.
Wow. Yeah.
Because it knows that this is a WordPress plugin. So it knows that when it sees something like a taxonomy, it knows how taxonomy is referred to in Spanish for WordPress. Okay. It knows that what a post is. It's not a post office. It's a blog post. So when you we had to use a large taxonomy, large glossary, when we were translating with human translators, because it's very difficult to find a translator, okay, who is intimately familiar with all the terminology of WordPress in different languages. It's really difficult.
Right.
The terminology is long and it's complicated. It's detailed, I would say. You need to address all the UI elements as they're called in the CMS. Some things you can translate them several ways, but there's one way that WordPress project chose, right? So in PTC, when we translate our own plugin WPML, we saw that the translations come out way better when we trimmed out all the WordPress terminology. And we stayed only with our stuff, okay? So, for instance, we're telling the translator now, PTC, we're telling it, do not translate the thing that's called Translation Dashboard. it's not a generic transaction dashboard. It's an element in our user interface. And we want it to appear as transaction dashboard in Spanish, in German. I don't know. Okay. But we don't need to tell it anything about the WordPress terminology. It's fine. We just stated it's a WordPress plugin.
And off it goes. Yeah, off it figures goes. It all out.
Off it goes.
That's just utterly incredible. You mentioned a bit ago, so I just want to unpick how bit aspects of this work. And I've got lots of questions. And the first one is, you mentioned that it learns about you. I think you said brand and about your website and so on. How does it do that? Is that a process where at the very beginning of your relationship with WPML's PTC, you have to, I don't know, go through a wizard or something and tell it about you? Or do you know, does it go out and scrape the website? How does it learn what you are and who you are?
We started with scraping and we discovered that it's better to just go and ask. So we ask you three questions. What's the name of your product? Okay. Mm-hmm. Give a one sentence description of your product and a one sentence description of your target audience. So in the case of WPML, our target audience are people building WordPress sites, are website developers. And why does this matter? Because you'd want to use a different tone of voice, different formality.
Yeah.
If you're translating something for teens or something for professionals building sites. That's it.
And do you get to go back and modify that?
You can if you want. You can if you want. We ask you in the setup wizard. And now we have a little project that is in progress. It's not deployed yet, but this is going to be in the next release that we're working on. So that if you modify that, okay, you'll be able to experiment and modify these descriptions, retranslate, but we'll remember the previous translations that you did with previous settings. So if you look at your site and say, no, I preferred the previous one better, then we don't have to charge you again for changing the whole translation. Let's say you've got 20 pages and you just updated everything with a new description of your target audience. So if you want to experiment, we will charge you for different translations, but we will make it very easy and free for you to go back to the previous translation that you had with a previous definition of the audience.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine in most scenarios, you're probably going to, because it's your business, you're probably going to get it right on the first go. But I appreciate that there's a way to store a historical version of, okay, this was how it all got set up the first time.
I wish, but there's a learning curve. We're doing this because we discovered that this is a new thing for everyone. And, you know, like a carpenter needs to learn how to use his tools. He doesn't get it right on the first attempt, even though it's, you know, it's a screwdriver. Our clients, we ourselves needed several iterations to use these things really well. So the first iteration is not bad. It looks very impressive. But then you become better at this and you say, maybe if I explain this and this, I'm going to get exactly what I need.
Okay, so there's the option to refine over time. Okay, that's lovely. So I suspect there'll be many people listening to this who've never used a translation plugin, and so the whole UI, UX of it will be a mystery to them. And I don't know if the previous way that you were doing things and the sort of metadata and the way you were storing that in the blog posts, for example, is still the same. Is this the same? Do you kind of specify languages in like metadata? How does it work? Let's say, for example, I'm typing in English and I have a desire to type it to translate it into five different languages. How would I specify those languages and what would the process be to make it happen each time I publish a post?
So when you set up WPML, you go through a wizard and you provide answers. So for instance, you pick the languages that you want, and WPML would store this in the options table because it doesn't scale. It's one piece of information. And then the languages that WPML adds to posts, WPML uses its own table, not the post meta table, so that we can index it and we don't bog down the whole system. So WPML creates its own tables for adding language information and adding the connections between languages. But then the translations themselves are stored in the regular WordPress tables, because if you write, let's say, natively in Spanish and you translate it to Italian and German, Then you'd have one post in Spanish, one post in Italian, one post in German, and that will sets the languages and connects between them. This is how WML worked from the beginning. It's fine. We don't need to change that. And then your user experience, what we recommend people to do today, 2025, probably going to be different 2027. I hope it will survive 2026. So what you do today, you finish this setup wizard and you go to a transition dashboard, which is a bird's eye view of all the content on your site. Okay. And we recommend to people to pick one or two pages and send them to transition. Use the AI transition, but just pick one or two and send them and look at the transition. Often people discover that many times it's fine, but when something is missing, you'll notice, oh, I forgot to translate a menu. I didn't select these custom fields as part of my text. Little technicalities, things that are fairly simple to resolve, but you want to notice them from the beginning, especially if you're using a plugin like ACF. It's got settings set up. And if you've created your content using many custom fields, then you want to tell WML which ones to translate and which not. You've got a field which holds an image or a video, you don't want to translate that. But if you have a field that is actually the title of something, then you should translate it. So you translate a few pieces of content, you have a look at the font, and you say, I've configured everything correctly, I'm translating correctly. Typically, you don't need to worry about the language these days, but you need to make sure that the technicalities are right, which takes one iteration. And when you're happy with this, you return to the same transition dashboard, and there's a toggle at the top that says, from now, start doing background translation.
Oh, nice.
And that's it. And you're done.
So from that moment on, after you've done your checks and balances the first time around, if you like, once you've got everything tuned in, from that moment on, if I write a piece in English, it will then just do it without... Okay, so it's autopilot, basically, from that moment on. Okay, that's fascinating. One curious thing which occurred to me is there seems to be a lot of discussion at the moment about, and I'm going to call it AI slop, on the internet. And this is the idea that we're flooding the landscape with AI generated content and, you know, and all of the harms that that can bring. But what's curious about this is that's not this, is it? Because if you've written a good piece of content the first time around, okay, let's assume that you haven't created AI slop. It feels in many cases that, oh, AI generated more content. Okay, that's AI slop. But this isn't that. This is you translating, hopefully, faithfully, your high quality piece of content into multiple instances of high quality content. And it's like an SEO win from top to bottom.
I think so, yes. And this is the results that we're seeing on our site.
And so it's working in that sense. You're getting surfaced in the... Yeah. I've used a few tools to check AI content. You know, I've written something with an AI and I've checked it. And the tools have been pretty good at working out, is this AI? And then when I've written something myself, obviously something of myself bleeds into that, and the AI that's trying to spot the fake, it says, yeah, that looks authentic. And so presumably, the way that you've described the translation, that should work in the same way. You know, it'll pick up the nuances of the language and it won't feel mechanical. It will feel authentic. It'll translate phrases in a hopefully an authentic way. So that's really interesting.
Okay. I haven't thought about this. I mean, this would be an interesting experiment to run a tool on our translations and see what it determines.
Yeah, definitely. Because I feel that organizations like Google, it feels like they have to probably marshal their resources to cut down on the AI. I don't suppose they want to be surfacing AI slop. But if the original piece is interesting, new, authoritative, I can't see why the AI wouldn't translate that, given everything that you've just said. It's trying to do a faithful and yet kind of slightly modified for the language translation. So yeah, I'd be curious to know how you follow up with that. Okay, back to the technicalities then. Many of the tools that I'm using when I'm invoking AI in some way, what I'm really doing is copy and pasting an API key from something like ChatGPT and off we go. It sounds, I could be wrong, it sounds as if that's not what you're doing. It sounds as if you're taking on the somehow the translation? I don't know whether you've got a, you know, a big allocation at something like ChatGPT, or if it is an API key. Just explain where this data is going and how you manage that.
Yeah, so we're using several LLMs. Actually, we're not using ChatGPT, but we're using other LLMs. And we're using their API keys. And because of our volume, we need redundancy, failover. We need a bunch of mechanisms to make sure it actually works at scale. Last year, we translated, I think, about 2.5 billion words a month. This year, it's way higher. This year, it's way, way more. So it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It is a lot. You should look at our AWS charge. It's okay. No, I'm not complaining. But it's a lot. It's a big operation. It's a lot more than sending the content to an LLM and getting it back. At a very, very small scale, you could just create a Python script, send the content, get the content. But then your rate of dealing with issues is going to be pretty high. Most of the time it's going to work, but you'll find yourself dealing with exceptions on a daily basis.
Yeah. So is it a subscription service then? Am I, you know, I've got my WPML plugin dating back many, many years, and, you know, we know how that works. That'll be a subscription annual charge for the plugin and so on. Is this a subscription layer on top of that, kind of based upon usage and the amount of tokens that
exactly,
you use?
Exactly, yes. But there's a pretty generous free tier. So
nice.
When we started all this, my understanding was someone just paid us and he wants to use a tool. And he will be a little disappointed if 10 minutes later, he sees a message that says, now pull out your credit card again. I don't like this kind of experience myself.
Yeah.
So if you want to charge me, please charge me and then let me use it. Please show me how much it's going to work. It's going to cost.
Yeah.
So I think that we're including something like 90,000 free credits or included credits in the CMS accounts. And our math based on the actual sites that we told you, it says that this covers 80% of the sites that clients use WPML for 2-3 languages, which means that at least 80% of the clients would never see any payment request. If you're building a much larger site or a site with many more languages, when you exceed this quota, which also gets renewed every year, so when you exceed this quota, then you can either buy prepaid transaction credit packages, or you can put in your credit card and you can pay per use. The pay per use costs less per word. It's the most cost efficient. Actually, web development agencies, they typically buy the prepaid packages, so they don't need to bother their clients with putting in a credit card.
Oh, I see.
And
yeah,
they don't,
makes sense.
Definitely,
yeah.
They don't put in their own credit card. So they buy something and then they resell it, basically. It's like a business opportunity for them. They tell their client, here, and I've included this and this amount. You can translate 50 pages. I think and I hope that they're doing a good business. I hope that they're reselling it for much more than they're paying us, because then everyone wins. They're adding some value, they're making a profit, we make a profit, the client definitely makes a profit, because for the client, the person who makes the biggest profit here is actually the end client, because whatever he's going to get charged for this is pennies compared to the effort that it would take him to actually sit down and translate.
Yeah. So, okay, that makes sense. So I'm just trying to imagine how this works. So I'm not plugging in an API key from a third-party service. You handle the AI interaction. Yeah. I set up a subscription, annual, whatever, with you, pay as you go, or you know, you buy a package, and then everything routes through you. Yeah. And so that the pricing of that all makes sense. Is there any sort of secret sauce? I think you've described this already, but just to be clear, is there any sort of secret sauce that you apply on the prompt side which somebody like me, you know, if I just say, here's some text, translate to Japanese, my result may differ from what you're getting out, because presumably you're doing this a lot. You've probably got some intuitions as to how to best do that.
No, we don't have intuition. We hired a team of linguistics. Okay.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Working full time for us. So the first task in making this work correctly was to pick many, many sites, go through them and translate them again and again and again, and see what's wrong. Okay, understand what's wrong, both linguistically and technically. Okay, mm-hmm. And there were many things wrong. And then work with our engineering and figure out ways to fix them. So we're talking about localization issues, language issues. For instance, here, you write quotes with a different character in French than in English.
Oh, yeah.
You need to take care of that.
Yes.
But you need to make sure that you don't translate the quotes which are inside short codes. There's stuff to handle. WML translates strings also. There's placeholders for variables. Some sites use this kind of character encoding, some another, some mix. So you've got sites with a mixture of Unicode escape characters and UTF.
Oh, yeah.
There's all this stuff. There's no secret sauce. It's just a lot of engineering. And then we also use different LLMs. So you have different small but important optimizations per LLM. And then you've got how you encode it to the LLM, how you get it. You need to make sure that you get correct translations and you don't get silly answers like, I don't understand this sentence. You don't want your homepage to say, I don't understand this, right? What the LLM just told you. Okay.
Yeah.
Little things. Think of it like you're hiring translators now. They know how to translate, but they're new to WordPress, they're new to HTML, they're new to a bunch of stuff, and you need to train them. So you could do this yourself, obviously, but I think that the math works out better when someone does it very centrally for many hundreds of thousands of clients together.
Yeah, but also, I guess, for all the languages.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so you might be good at doing it for, I don't know, Spanish, English to Spanish, or that way around, the other way around.
Also,
but not maybe into Hebrew, really? Or Dutch, or all the others. Yeah. And you've done that.
We had to do this. We did not release any language. Well, nobody checked it. We have to.
And that's nice.
We caught issues with all the languages that we queued.
Is there any part of the interface where, let's say that something pops up and I think, actually, do you know what? There is something there that I would wish had come out differently. Do you sort of receive feedback? Is that like a support ticket thing? In other words, if I want to update you that something's not quite what I was anticipating, can I do that inside the PTC or the plugin, or do I need to contact a support to make those amendments?
Okay, so first, everyone is free to edit their own site. It's not like it translates and you can't touch it. So if you wish, you can translate. Better than editing yourself, you can go to a segment and tell it in your language what you don't like about it. And then the LLM will fix it for you.
Right, right.
I think many AI tools do this today. So you don't need to know what is the right output. You need to know what's bothering you. So you could do that.
Does the context of that stay with you, if you know what I mean? So the next time I come and a similar opportunity for failure arose, does the LLM kind of maintain that context and memorize that, okay, this is how it's anticipated?
Not yet, but we're working to integrate this now, so that we will detect your edits, and we'll ask you, do you want to apply something similar to this in the future? The problem is that we're working with very little data because people are doing so little edits. The translations are just good.
Okay.
No, okay, really.
It's mainly fine.
Yeah, the translations.
Yeah, I can understand.
So when we released this version of WPML, which I think was about 3 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we did something which is new to us and we were concerned. We're offering a guarantee to the quality of the translation, meaning, if you get our AI translation and you're not happy with this for whatever reason, I don't know what the reason could be, just tell us, and we're not only going to redo it or fix it for you, we can refund your money. You can get us to fix it, you can get us to refill your credits, and you can get us to just refund what you paid in yours.
Oh, gosh. That's it. Yeah, you're really standing by it. That's quite a promise.
And, you know, we're all engineers, and when we were working on this, we bounced dozens of imaginary scenarios in our head on how this is going to go wrong. Dozens. since then, WML has already translated several tens of thousands of sites from this new policy. And so far, we've had zero requests for issues. We did get three refunds for that, and they're completely unrelated to the translation, actually. Just regular refund issues, technical issues, somehow leaked into that.
Okay, interesting. I guess if you were to rewind the clock, I don't know, let's go 5 years before any of this was available, before you were just, you know, you were advising people to get some kind of an AI, but not rely on it in the way that you are now. I think it must be a hard business that you're in. You know, you've got a fairly, there's a lot of moving cogs. You've got to get translators, humans involved. You've got to wait, you've got to approve things and so on. This whole AI thing, whilst it might concern people out in all sorts of ways, this must have been music to your ears. It must have been just, oh, what the heck? This whole translation engine, what the AIs can do. That if I could have built something, I would have had this built. I mean, it feels like this thing came along and dropped slotted perfectly inside your business. Your clients, for almost no money, I don't know what the costs are, but I know that it's cheap, right? This kind of stuff is cheap.
Look it up.
But you, it was just handed to you on a plate. Yeah. Look, we've elsewhere, unrelated to you, we've built a whole bunch of technologies which enable you to make your plugin a whole lot better. You must have just been kind of giggling to yourself.
Like,
how the heck?
It's like a miracle.
And not many people have a... Well, I suppose there's many people in the WordPress space who are trying to crowbar AI into their product. You can see it all over the place, right? They've dropped AI in, but you think, okay, it's clumsy at best. It never really belonged there. You had a product for which AI was the perfect answer.
Yeah, and you would...
That's a nice bit of serendipity.
And you would think that this would be easy to market. And of course, it's not. And the hardest audience to market that was internally to our team.
Interesting.
Yeah, because it's...
Just they thought, no way, it's never going to work.
Change, or... right? It's a change. And every change is met by skepticism. Every change. So again, we're engineers. And we were working out in our heads all the possibilities how this could have failed. And when you look at all these possibilities, it looks like there's no way it's going to work.
And yet,
it works fine. It did.
That's amazing. I mean, really, really amazing. Like I say, you couldn't have designed a better set of things. The LLMs that have come along. Large language model. What are you dealing in? Large amounts of language. It's just, it's kind of almost like you designed it. Just for yourself. So, yeah, that's amazing. I don't know that I have any more questions to ask you. I do wonder, however, if there's some part of the system, some part of the process, some part of the plugin or the subscription that you are particularly proud of that I didn't mention that you wanted to get out there that perhaps people wouldn't have known about.
So I just want to clarify that the PTC system that we built, we use it for software now and for websites. So sure enough, we get much more, people know us much better for the website transition because WML has been out there for 16 years. But we ourselves were seeing actually the bigger benefit to us as clients from translating software because it's actually harder. Translating software is harder than translating websites because websites is long,
interesting,
long, clear, meaningful content.
Yeah.
User interface is disconnected strings, typically with poor English. Okay, very, very poor English. It's even poor English by design. Okay, it says click button. It doesn't click the bloody button. It says click button. It's not an English phrase. Okay, so it's a harder task from the beginning. Before we've had this, before we were using PTC ourselves, we spent roughly $8,000 to translate, to update the translations of our own WQML plugin for every major release.
Wow.
Yeah, $8,000, and we have many releases. Okay, we come out with a major release every few months. So our bill was approximately this, sometimes a little larger, sometimes a little smaller, but this was our bill because it's very slow work for a human to do this work. A human must charge us a pretty high rate per word in order to translate software correctly. Or we can expect very sloppy work. We can choose. Okay, but when the work is harder, you need to pay for it. And it was very hard to get the LLM to translate it also. But again, it's something that is teachable. So we taught the LLM how to do it. It's a different prompt, different explanations, different pre and post processing. There's work in it. And we benefit the most, actually, not only from translating our own website. It's a huge benefit for us. But when we don't need to pay again for translating our own software, so PTC translates WQML plugin and toolset and everything else that we release. And now we've forgotten about translation. The PTC is connected with our Git repository. Translation just happens in the background as we continue, as we go. Someone is working on a feature branch or prepares it for tagging, it's just translated by in the background. The resource files just fly back into Git. And we eliminated this very expensive item from our checklist. Previously, we had this thing. Do you remember the name string freeze? It's a horrible thing. It means that when everyone's ready. Everyone's ready. You want to ship it? Now you need to wait. Now you're waiting a couple of weeks for a Dutch translator to get back from vacation. We don't have that anymore. It's ready. When we're done testing, we ship it out. That's it. No string freeze, no nothing.
Press the button and off you go.
Yeah. There's no button to press even.
So that sounds to me like a new arm of your company in a way then. So are you marketing this out into the software? So not WordPress in particular, but out into the software world in general. We'll translate, I don't know, we'll organize your changelog for you, but we'll also update all of the bits and pieces. So that's quite an interesting pivot. And also feels like, a real nice bright horizon there. There's probably a lot of opportunity there. I was wondering also if you have plans to or already have kind of opened the PTC op as like an API endpoint that other software developers can hook into, or if that's just something that we're doing this through the plugin.
So PTC is a system as a standalone system. PTC is serving WQML, but as a standalone system, it does have its API. Right. So software developers today already connect with this, integrate it to their CI flow, either through our Git integration or through our API. So they make a call, say, I've got something that needs translating, and they listen to the hook that says translation is ready. And it is already integrated. People are using it with their API, API.
Right. So the software development side of things that you just described, that's where it's being used. It was just curious because I know there's lots of SaaS apps out there that are obviously making connections to LLMs, maybe to, I don't know, transcribe things or take meeting notes and things like that, but then might not necessarily do the translation portion on the other side, but there may be a need for that. So I was just curious as to whether or not you were
this is our target audience.
You were open to that.
Yeah, you got it exactly right.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. In that case, I think we've probably wrapped up everything that we need to do. Just give us the URL, drop the URL. We can find out most about this. This is obviously WPML. We could search for that in Google or what have you. Sure. Is there a particular page you want to direct us to on your website that we can put into the show notes and people can hear you read into the record?
So we've placed PTC project under ptc.wpml.org.
Perfect. So ptc.wpml.org, go there and check out everything that Amir has been mentioning today. It's exciting times, Amir. I wish you all the best. I hope it's a success. It obviously is going to make make the translation process much simpler, much cheaper, much faster. That's a lot. Well done. Thank you for bringing that to our attention today. Best of luck with it.
Thank you so much for having me, Nathan.
You're very welcome. Okay, that's nearly all we've got time for. I hope that you enjoyed that. If you did, head to wpbuilds.com. Whilst there, head to the search option at the top of the website, search for episode number 436, and leave us a comment there. We would really appreciate that. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain SSL and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place. Invoice clients and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. We're also joined this week by Bluehost. Bluehost, redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And last, but by no means least, OmniSend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet OmniSend. Yes, that OmniSend, the email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try OmniSend today at omnisend.com. And sincere thanks go to GoDaddy Pro, Bluehost and OmniSend for their continuing support of the WP Builds podcast. Okay, I'm really, really, really close to the end. The last thing to mention is, don't forget, later in the month, if you want to join us at WPLDN in London, as well as LoopConf, check out the bits and pieces that were mentioned at the top of the show. We would really like to see you there. That would be lovely. Okay, that's really all I've got, except, of course, for the cheesy music, which is about to fade in. And I'll just say, have a good week. Stay safe. Bye-bye for now.